Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Zayin. We're learning today, Lili Nishma Sam Bam, Chaim Simcha, Ben Aaron Halevi. Well, the Shalom, as we learn for, should have an Aliyah. We begin on Chav Zayin with Aleph, about 7 lines down from the new Mishnah. Here we're going to have a series of statements that Rabbi Eliezer makes, most of which were not Lahalacha, that Chacham argue with. We start off with two in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer tells us the following Halacha, Arba Esrei Seudos Chayev Adam Lecho Basukkah. Achas b'yom, v'achas b'layla. Rabbi Eliezer tells us that on Sukkot there are 14 meals that one has to eat in the Sukkah. Now he says one in the day and one in the nighttime. We'll have to explain in a moment why he says not one in the nighttime and one in the daytime, because the Jewish day starts at nighttime. So the first meal should have been a layla meal. So why does he say achas b'yom, v'achas b'layla? We'll explain in a moment. But his opinion is that there are 14 meals. The obvious question is, well, if it's two meals every day, so on Shabbos there should be three meals. There's at least one Shabbos during Sukkot, of course, as it's 7 days, Midarais in Eretz Yisrael, so why isn't it 15 meals? So a number of answers are given, and the Menachem Meshiv Nefesh gives the one that I think explains everything the neatest and the nicest very, very easily, and he brings this down in the name of the Cheshech Shlomo. And the Menachem Meshiv Nefesh says that we're not including the first meal according to Rabbi Eliezer, because everyone agrees that that meal is an obligation. The Chacham also say you have to have that one meal, as we'll see in a second, that you have to have that first meal in the Sukkah no matter what. When you paskin halacha l'maisa, even if it's raining, if it's pouring, you have to have at least a kezayis of pas that first night in the Sukkah. So therefore, the Menachem Meshiv Nefesh says that we're starting off here with the second meal of Sukkot, which is now the daytime meal. And that explains also very nicely why it says achas b'yom v'achas b'layla. We're dealing with 14 obligatory meals that you have on Sukkot besides the first obligatory meal that the Chacham also agreed to. And that's why we have 14 and not 15. That includes Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos of Sukkot, and everything fits in very easily and very nicely. Others suggest that Shalosh Shudas can, of course, be fulfilled without necessarily having a meal of pas. It's certainly ideal to have lecha mishnah every shalosh shudas. That's the ideal. That's lechatchila, the way everybody should do it. But since technically you can fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh shudas without eating pas, so therefore it could be eaten theoretically outside the sukkah. So that's another reason why people say he only says 14 meals. In any event, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. However, the chachamim say no. Ein ledavar kitzur. There is no set amount of meals that you have to have in the sukkah besides the first meal that's obligatory. Chutz meilele yom tov rishon shel chag bilvat. Except for the first night. Everybody agrees that that first night is an obligatory meal. Chachamim as well. And halacha lemaisa, you should try to have much more than a kebeitza in the sukkah the first night. But at least b'di'evid, the minimum amount is a kezayis in the first night of sukkahs. In the sukkah, again, even if it's pouring, that is the halacha. That's the first din that Rabbi Eliezer tells us that Chacham disagree with. Second din, the Oda Mar Rabbi Eliezer, another din that Rabbi Eliezer tells us is, Mi shelo ochal leile yom tov arishon, if for whatever reason you were not able to have that first obligatory meal in the sukkah on the first night, so then you have a tashlumen period of time. Yashlim leile yom tov achron shochak. You can fulfill this mitzvah of eating the first night in the sukkah, all of the rest of sukkahs, and even including Yom Tov Achron Shochag, which in Eretz Yisrael is the eighth day, which is Shmini Atzeres, which in Eretz Yisrael there is absolutely no chiyuv, and some even say it's also to go eat because of Baal Tosef in the Sukkah on the eighth day. Nevertheless, the Mefarshim understand that this is a din of Tashlumim, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem even if you ate this eighth meal outside the Sukkah. You're not being mashlim the meal in the Sukkah, you're being mashlim that first obligatory meal, which on the eighth day you're not obligated, maybe not even allowed to go and eat it in the Sukkah, so therefore you can still do this Tashlumim, just like the Korban Chagig can be brought after Shavuos, for example. You have the 6 days of Tashlumim after Shavuos, so too, the Tashlumim for this first meal could be done anytime during Sukkot, of course, and then you would eat it in the Sukkah. But even if you have to do it on the eighth day, just like the Chagigah could be brought on the eighth day if you didn't bring it, so too this Tashlum, according to Rabbi Eliezer, could be done for the first meal. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, well, what about Tashlum for the other 14 meals that Rabbi Eliezer said? And the Gemara will ultimately say that Rabbi Eliezer retracts his din of the 14 obligatory meals, but this din of the first meal, everybody agrees, remains an obligation, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who retracts the other meals, and therefore this Tashlumim din is only held according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no, ein la dover Tashlumim. There is no concept of Tashlumim in regards to this meal. Yes, by the Korban Chagiga, there's a concept of Tashlumim, but not in regards to this meal. Yalzeh Nemar, and this the Chachamim said, they brought down from Koheles, Me'uvas lo yechol lisko. We, of course, read Koheles on Sukkot. The uvas lo yichol lisko, and this is a type of error, something that is bent or broken, that cannot be fixed, it can't be corrected. The chesaron, and this is a type of lacking, something that's missing, lo yichol limonos, there's no way that you can go and make it up. So therefore, this is lost. If you didn't eat the first night, okay, next year, mitzvah shem, you'll do better, but there's no makeup for it. So these are two main machlokas that we have between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Gemara will give us more. Gemara starts off and says, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer saying that you have to have 14 meals on Sukkos? So the Gemara says, because Teshu came to do it. We have the famous pasuk we mentioned already many times, Sukkos Teshu Shivas Yomim, so you have to be in the Sukkah just like you'd be in the house. Teshu in the Sukkah, Ke'en Tadur, like you normally sleep in your house, like you normally eat in your house. Thus, Ma Dira Achas Bayom V'Achas V'Laila, in your house you normally have a meal in the morning, a meal at night. They had two meals a day. They didn't have breakfast, lunch, and supper. They just had like a later breakfast and a main meal for the afternoon slash supper. So therefore, they only had two meals a day. So Madira Achas Bayom V'Achas V'Laila. Normally, when you live in your house, you have a meal in the morning and you have a meal in the evening. So too with the Sukkah, Av Sukkah, you have to have one meal in the morning, Achas Bayom V'Achas V'Laila, one meal at night. Very good. That explains Rabbi Eliezer very, very nicely. Nu v'Rabbanan, what do they say about this? They hold the din of Teshu Kein Taduru. Shemur says, no, it's just like in your house, Kedira. If in your house you feel like eating, you eat. If you don't feel like eating, you don't eat. So Madira, just like when you're all year long in your house, Iboy Ochil, Ochil. Iboy Lo Ochil, Lo Ochil. So if you want to eat, you eat. If you don't want to eat, you don't eat. So Av Sukkanami, so too in the Sukkah. Iboy Ochil, Iboy Lo Ochil. If you want to eat, you eat. If you don't want to eat, you don't eat. Now, Shemur says, if that's correct, Ihochi, then how come the first night's meal, afilu leil yom to rishonami? So then, just like a person, if he doesn't want to go and have a meal the first night of Sukkot, if he were to be in his house, the first night of Shavuos, he doesn't feel like having a bread-full meal, so he doesn't have to. So too, on Sukkot, why is the first meal going to be obligatory on the first night of Sukkot? Now, I should put it as an aside. Many of you may be thinking, well, how could you go through Sukkot without having meals or giving kor to chachamim? Don't you have to wash on Shabbos? And after all, Shabbos, even if you want to say Shalosh Shudas, you can get away without pas. So you need to have pas both by the Friday night meal and the Shabbos lunch meal. So how could the Chachamim at least not say that there's two meals that you're obligated to have on Shabbos Sukkos? So the Mefarshim explained, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that technically you could get away with Shabbos. You should have more, but you can get away with Shabbos by eating just the kezayis. The shear of achila is normally a kezayis, but the shear of sukkah is a little bit more than a kebetza. Kebetza plus. And therefore, technically, you could wash and be yotzei the mitzvah of lecha mishnah on both Friday night sukkahs and Shabbos lunch sukkahs with less than a kebetza. And technically, that could be eaten outside the sukkah. So that would be the explanation. But in any event, how come the first night of Sukkot, Yochi, afilu leil yom to rishon, nami, the first nights of Sukkot, it doesn't mean the yom to rishon and yom to sheni shel golius. When it says leil, it means it's talking about leil of Klai Yisrael, all the nights of the first night for Klai Yisrael. So it means the first night, but it means for all Klai Yisrael, that's why it uses the plural, and for all generations. In any event, if you don't have an obligation, Iboy Ochel, Iboy Lo Ochel, so the first night should be the same thing. Shmuel tells us the famous Gzei Rishava. Omer Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Meir Tzadok. Rav Yochanan said the name of Shimon Meir Tzadok. Ne'amar Kan, it says, in regards to Sukkos, Bachemish Osor Yom Lachodesh Hashvi Chazeh Chag Lasukkos. It says, Bachemish Osor. And in Ne'amar, it says, in regards to Pesach, Chemish Osor B'chag HaMatzos. In regards to Pesach, it says, Chemish Osor Yom Lachodesh Hazeh Chag HaMatzos. So we have very similar terminology, and we use the lashon of Chemish Osor, Chemish Osor as a Gzei Rishava. It's given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Gzei Rishava to compare the two. And that teaches us, Ma Lahalun Laila Rishon Chova, Mikan Ve'elech Rishus, Avkan Laila Rishon Chova, Mikan Ve'elech Rishus. Just like on the first night of Pesach, you're obligated to have a Kizayis of Matzah, so to on the first night of Sukkot, you're obligated to have a Kizayis of Pas. There's an interesting, I believe it's a Tzlach, that says that you should have Badavka Matzah on the first night of Sukkos to compare this Gzei Rishava fully to Pesach, but that's not the way that we paskin. So just like on Pesach, you have to have a Kizayis of Pas, which of course is Matzah, so too on Sukkos, you have to have a Kizayis of Pas in the Sukkah. And just like on Pesach, the rest of the time, if you eat any Matzah, it's only a Rishos, it's an option. The Vilna Gaon does say that it's a mitzvah. Every time you're eating additional matzah on Pesach, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. It's a kiyum of a mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach. Similarly, on Sukkos, Mishnah Berurah brings down that according to the Vilna Gaon, it would be every time you eat bread in the Sukkah, every time you're eating in the Sukkah, it's a kiyum of a mitzvah as well. In any event, you're not obligated, according to the Chachamim, for the rest of Sukkos. That's an option, as we brought down. But based upon this tesvav tesvav, chamishasar gzeirah shavah, so there is an obligation, even according to the Chachamim, to eat a kezayis of pas in the sukkah on the first night. No, the Gemara says, no, how do you know this by Pesach? Great, you're telling us gzeirah shavah, tesvav tesvav, from a Pesach to a sukkah, but how do you know the awesome by Pesach, minolah, how do you know that? So Amar Krok, because the pasuk tells us over there, but erev tochlu matzos, it says, b'davka on the erev, which means on the night of tesvav, that you must eat matzos. But erev tochlu matzos, hakosov kivo chova. Therefore, the Torah said that you have to do that. It's a mitzvah. It's an obligation. And we learn out through the Gzeirah Shavah, chamishasar, that the same obligation to eat pas on the first night of Pesach applies to sukkahs as well. Just like there it's a kezayis, here it's a kezayis as well. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, we had that Rabbi Eleza said there's a concept of tashlumim for the first meal, whereas the Chachamim don't hold this concept of tashlumim. So we said in the Mishnah of Odom Rabbi Eliezer, the Chule. So the Rabbi Eleza said that you can have an obligation to make up. If you didn't eat the first night of the Sukkah, you have all this, the rest of the Sukkahs, as well as Shmini Atzeres, to make it up. The Chachamim disagree. The Gemara says, wait a second, how could Rabbi Eleza say this? If you're telling me that there's a make-up period of time for the obligatory meals, but he told us in the Mishnah, he taught us that there were 14 other meals. Again, the way the Menachem Meshav Nefesh explains it, so everything works out very, very well. So there are 15 obligatory meals. Why are you only saying that there's one obligatory meal that has a makeup? Why don't the other 14 obligatory meals have a makeup, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer? That's what the Gemara is asking. And the Gemara Teretz is, Omar Bira, Omar Ravami. Bira is the name of Talmud Chacham. He's the name of Ravami. And bottom line is, Chazar Bo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer ultimately retracted his position to say that these 14 meals are obligatory. They may be a mitzvah to go and eat in the sukkah, a kiyum of a mitzvah, but lav dafka, that you're obligated to do so. Therefore, there's only one obligatory meal, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, since he retracts his shita and his moda to the Chachamim, and therefore only that meal has a tashlumim. In regards to tashlumim, he wasn't moda to the Chachamim, he says there is a tashlumim, and the Chachamim say there is no tashlumim. That's what Bira Omar Ravami answers. Gemara says, how exactly are you mashlim over here? Mashlim b'mai. Let's say you're eating on the last day, on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael, and you're having a meal. So how is it going to be recognized that this is a tashlumim meal? Ilema berifto, if you're going to tell me, oh, you're going to have bread, you're going to have pas, so wait a second, su'udo diyome ka'ochel. How's anybody know that you're eating a makeup meal? Everybody's going to say, oh, he's eating the Shmini Atzeres lunch meal. He's not eating a makeup meal for the first night of Sukkot that he missed. He's eating the Shmini Atzeres meal. So how would it be recognizable? That's what the Gemara is asking. How would be recognizable that you're doing a makeup meal because you're eating a yontif meal? Who would notice that you're not eating the Shmini Atzeres meal, but you're eating the makeup meal? What's recognizable about it? The Gemara says, you're right. Elamai yashlim. So what does it mean when Rabbi Eliezer says you should be mashlim? He says you have an extra type of a meal. Now, if you just wash right afterwards, that would be nitzah. That would be unnecessary bracha shein atzricha, because you don't stop, bench, and then wash right away. That's why we do this on Pesach that comes out on Erev Shabbos. Erev Pesach, Sholios B'Shabbos. So we try to fit in two meals in the morning, according to many Shitas, in order to fill Shalosh Shudas. So you have to have a Shpatzir. You have to take a walk. You have to have a break in between the first meal and the second meal. Otherwise, it's Baruch Shein Atzricha. You can have it much later in the day, so people just think you're hungry. Why does it? It doesn't look like you're eating something special as a Tashlumim. So what does it mean, Elamai Yashlim? It means Yashlim B'minei Tagima. Have something unusual. Have some sort of a delicacy. Rashi brings down a foreign language word for Tagima, which he says is Prungush. This Prungush is some sort of lift on. Kol Dovash Yochal Ima Pas, something that you eat with bread. Earlier in the Rashi's B'minei Tagima, he says, after la'achar shesilek, after you remove your meal, so it looks like you're done with the meal. Oh, then you bring out parparos umadanim. You bring out all sorts of fancy desserts, gomperos, or kisnin, you bring out fruits, or some sorts of pies, the kaflutos, mevushalos, and all sorts of delicious delicacies that normally would not necessarily be brought out. And people say, aha, that's the special tashlumim that you have for the first night that you missed. We have a similar idea that when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, there are those that bring out a special kugel, a special something to honor Rosh Chodesh, because obviously with all the delicacies for Shabbos, it doesn't look like you're celebrating Rosh Chodesh in any way, so they bring out a special type of a cooked dish to honor Rosh Chodesh. So similar over here, you bring out these special targima. Now, Rashi explains it, as I just said, it is peros. Tosos disagrees. Tosos says peros wouldn't be included in this, and Tosos, in his first opinion, brings down that this is really a mini tagima, the second line from the bottom in the bottom Tosos, heavy kagon basar v'dogim v'shay dvorim shemalafsin bohenes apas. He says it's meat or fish that accompany the bread that would be delicacies here. Others give different opinions. In any event, that's what you do, make something special that would be recognizable and noticeable. And we have a brice in support of this idea of tagima taninam yochid. The brice says, im hishlim, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elezer, that you have to be mashlim. How are you mashlim it? B'mini tagima yotza. If bring out these targima, this extra special delicacy, then in fact, in the targima, you would be yotze, yotze. Now we're going to bring down, first start off with a story, a Maisa Shehoya, and bring down another interesting din of Rabbi Eliezer, which again, we do not paskin like, and the Gemara will show that the Chachamim disagree with this. So we have here, Shal Apotropos Shal Agrippus. The Apotropos is the Mamuna, Rashi says, Al Shlo. He was the person in charge of his affairs. So Agrippus HaMelech was the king after the Chashmonaim. And he was having his person in charge of all of his affairs go and ask the following shaila. Shal apotropos shal agrippus hamelech es Rabbi Elezer. Yes, Rabbi Elezer, the following shaila. Rashi brings down an interesting word for this apotropos. He calls him a shaklak, which in the laws of Rashi, he says, this means an apotropos. It means the pocket, the guy in charge. And he brings down from Targum Yonasan that when it says by Avraham Avinu that Eliezer has been meshek beisi, hu da meshek Eliezer, so that's this word shaklak, this word, this mamuna. In any event, he asked him as follows. Kigonani, Agrippus was asking the following shaila through his apotropos to Rabbi Eliezer. What about a person like me? She'eini rogil lechol elasuda achas bayom. The king wakes up late. He had only one huge meal during the daytime. He didn't have a morning meal and an evening meal. So what is my din? According to you, this was obviously before he retracted, but according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, that hold that you have 14 meals obligations, one in the morning, one in the night, one in the evening. So what about me, a guy like me? Am I also obligated in the 14 meals? In my regular living, I only have one huge meal each day, not a smaller breakfast-type meal and a smaller afternoon meal. I just have one huge meal. I get up late, I have one huge meal. So am I obligated to 14 meals on Sukkot, or would I be obligated to have only 7 days? Seven meals on Sukkot. Ma'u she'ochal suda achas v'potter. Can I fulfill my obligation with one suda according to you that holds you have to have two sudas every day on Sukkot? So Rabbi Eliezer tells the apotropos, Omelo, L'chol yom v'yom ata mamshich kama parporos l'chvod atzmecha v'achshav yeta mamshich parperes achas l'chvod konecha? He says, I don't understand. All days, you're eating all these delicacies all day long. You're not like eating one meal. You're eating continuously. So you're having all these delicacies and the wonderful things brought out for you each day. So you can't find it within your means to go and do the same thing on Sukkot. So force yourself to eat another meal because they're so delicacies. All these delicacies are to whet your appetite and to make you have a great appetite. So bring out all these delicacies and have a separate meal. And this way you should also have 14 meals on Sukkot. Another shaila this apotropos asked Rabbi Eliezer on behalf of Agrippus HaMelech, Yod Shalu, he asked his following. Kigon Ani, a person like the king, Sheyeshli Shtei Noshim, Achas B'Tveria V'Achas B'Tzibari, he had two queens. One palace was in Tveria with that wife, the queen, and Achas B'Tzibari, he had another palace in Tzibari with that wife, the queen. Now, Yeshli Shtei Sukkos. So, of course, I spent half my time in Tveria and half my time in Tzipori, so I have two Sukkos. So, Achaz B'Tveria v'Achaz B'Tzipori, Ma'ushe Eitzim Yisukkah L'Sukkah V'Potter. Am I allowed to go from one Sukkah to another? Now, we haven't learned yet, but we'll see in a moment that Rabbi Eliezer has an interesting shita. He says that you have to have one sukkah that you sit in all 7 days, and that a person has to be like in his house. Just like in your house, you don't move about from house to house to house. So, just like you sit in your house, in one house, so too, your sukkah has to be one sukkah. We'll derive this from sukkah. We, of course, don't paskin like this, but it's a very interesting sheet, Rabbi Eliezer, that says you are only able to sit in one sukkah, your one sukkah that you make for yourself. He also holds it has to be your sukkah. It can't be a borrowed sukkah. It can't be somebody else's sukkah. So Rabbi Eliezer's sheet, which this apotropos in the name of Agrippus HaMelech knew, was that you had to sit in one sukkah. That's because most people only had one house. But he's asking a person like me that has two full houses, and I do switch day to day, week to week, from house to house, so what's the halacha for me? Can I sit in two different sukkahs and be yotze on sukkahs? So I'm alone. So Eliezer tells the apotropos to tell Agrippus HaMelech, no, even a person like you, the din is one sukkah per person for all 7 days. Shani Omer, If you go from a sukkah, you lose all the days that you already slept in the sukkah, all the days that you already ate in the sukkah. As Rashi says in the Dibur Maskil, "Bitel mitzvah shel rishona." Afilu yom shavu alav kvar ivdon l'mafreya. Even the days that you sat, so you sat in one sukkah for days 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then you move to another sukkah. So then you're not yotzei. Ain't no mitzvah. You don't fulfill the mitzvah because the mitzvah is that you have to sit in one sukkah for all 7 days. And we see this shita in the following brisa. I'm not sure why it doesn't say de tanya. I didn't see anybody that says it should say de tanya. It would have been a natural to me to say de tanya. But anyway, tanya, we're going to bring down the brisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer shita is, and we turn to Chav Zayin Omer Beis. Rabbi Eliezer holds as follows. It says, Ein yotzin mi sukkah le sukkah. A person is not allowed to leave one sukkah and go to another sukkah. Rashi says, Lecho bezu, v'lisho bezu, to eat in this one and sleep in that one. Oh, hayom bezu, on this day, you sit in this sukkah. Mocho bezu, and the next day, you sit in the next sukkah. So that's not allowed, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Vein osin sukkah b'chol shumayit, and you're not allowed to make a sukkah b'chol shumayit. Rashi explains, Mishalo yoshav b'sukkah yantav harishon. If you didn't sit in a sukkah on yantav harishon, so then, sorry, buddy, you can't fulfill the mitzvah, because it has to be a 7-day sukkah, and making it a chol shumayit won't do you any good. Vein osin sukkah b'chol shumayit. That is the opinion of Eliezer. The Chachamim Omrim, however, Yotzim Yisukkah L'Sukkah, Vosim Sukkah B'Chol Shemayit. What are you talking about? There is no such mitzvah that you have to have the same sukkah. And you could eat in your friend's sukkah on the first night and then go sleep in your sukkah. Or eat in your and sleep in your sukkah the first night and then go to your brother-in-law's house the second night. No problem. The Chachamim say, it's a sukkah. What difference does it make whose sukkah it is? And likewise, if for whatever the reason you didn't have a sukkah the first days, osin sukkah b'chol shemayit, so make a sukkah b'chol shemayit and be yotzei at least from then on. So this is a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim how to understand the mitzvah sukkah. However, they both agree. V'shavin, even Rabbi Eliezer holds shem nofla, if your sukkah fell down and now it's chol shemayit, are you allowed to rebuild it? So even Rabbi Eliezer says shechozer boneh b'chol shemayit, you're allowed to rebuild that sukkah on chol shemayit. Now, according to this means you have to use the same exact material. If you go and build a new sukkah, the Rebbe will say it's no good. But as long as you're taking the same sukkah, it's not considered a separate sukkah. And therefore, even though it fell down and you're rebuilding it, you might have thought that it's considered a new sukkah. No, that's still considered the same sukkah, according to Rebbe Eliezer. Now, what is the rationale behind Rebbe Eliezer's shita that has to be the same sukkah all 7 days? My time with Rebbe Eliezer. So Amar Kor, the Pasuk tells us that when we're building a sukkah, it says, Chag Hasukos Tasilcha Shivas Yom. You have to go make a sukkah for 7 days. Now, the Gersa that we have in the Gemara is, I say, sukkah haru'uya l'shiva. You should make a sukkah that is able to be used all 7 days. Now, this is different than the din. You see, the Mesoros HaShasi tells us that we already learned this on Daf Chav Gimel. And we had previously in the Masechta that a sukkah has to be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. But this is a different drasha. This is telling us that that specific sukkah has to be used for 7 days. Now that's the girsa that we have. Rashi doesn't have the girsa re'uya l'shiva. Rashi has the girsa asei sukkah l'shem chag shel shiva sayomim. You have to make the same sukkah. Rashi says, Shamas vino, we learn from this, the enos in sukkah b'chol shemoyd, the eno l'shiva. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer says you can't make a sukkah on chol shemoyd, unless it fell down and you're rebuilding the same sukkah, is because it's not a sukkah for 7 days. Furthermore, v'shamina mina, the ein yotzin mi sukkah l'sukkah. You can't go from one sukkah to another sukkah. Dimkein lav sukkah l'shivahi. It's not a sukkah for 7 days. So this is the way Rabbi Eliezer dashens his pasuk. Chaka sukkos tas elecho shivas yomim. You have to make your sukkah not only sturdy enough for 7 days, not re'uya only for 7 days, but actually lived in and used for those 7 days. One person uses that sukkah all the time, all 7 days. No, this is a nice drasha. Rabbanan, what do they do with this pasuk? So, Hachi Kama Rachmana, this is what the pasuk is telling us. Asei sukkah b'chag. You have to make a sukkah every day of sukkahs. In other words, even if you weren't fulfilling the mitzvah on the first day, so then make a sukkah on Chol Hamoed. Make a sukkah even just for Hoshana Rabbah. That's what it means. You should have a sukkah every single day of the 7 days of sukkahs, even if you didn't have it for the first 6 days, so make it for the seventh day. So this is the way we, of course, pasuk like the Chachamim, but it's very interesting sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. Then we just said in this brisa that we brought down that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if the sukkah fell down on Chol Hamoed, that you can rebuild that same sukkah on Chol Hamoed. V'shavim shim nafla shechozer rabona osa b'chol shemayit. You're allowed to rebuild that sukkah on Chol Hamoed. Mor says pshita, why would anybody think that you're not able to rebuild that same sukkah? It's the same sukkah, isn't it? So therefore, even assuming you hold like the sheet that it says it has to be the same materials. So, okay, so it says if you use the same materials, so then you rebuild the sukkah. So why would you even have a halakha to say that Rabbi Eliezer will say that this is no good? Everyone says, no, there's a good hava mina. Ma lutema, I would have said, hayachritihi. Bottom line is, this is a different sukkah. The original sukkah is gone. It fell down and collapsed. I use the same materials, but it's a brand new sukkah, one could argue. Hayachritihi, ve'en elushiva. That's what I might have thought. So the chiddush is, the Rishavin, even Rabbi Eliezer holds that if it's the same sukkah materials, so then it's definitely the same sukkah. And therefore, it is not a violation of his concept that chakasukos tasilcho shivas yomim, that it has to be the same sukkah for all 7 days. Now we have another brisa, Tanya. We learn in this brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kishem shein od miyotzei dechavosa biyom tov harishon shochag, Lulavo shel chaveiro, just like a person can't fulfill his obligation with the lulav and esrog, with the arba minim, on the first day of Sukkot by borrowing his friend's lulav and esrog, the arba minim from a friend, he has to have his own. You see, based upon the pasuk, the pasuk says ulakachtem lochem. That's the real drasha. Ulakachtem lochem. You have to take for yourself your own property. And just finish off the pasuk. Yom Rishon creates hadar kapos tomorim. And the rest of the pasuk is vanaf eitz avos v'avi noachal didalad minim. So you have to go and take them yourself. Lekach lochem, mishel lochem. It must be yours. And that's the loch lemaisa. We all agree to this din. So Rabbi Eliezer says, just like we all agreed that the din is that on the first day of Sukkot, you have to have your own lulav and esrog. Right? If you're borrowing somebody, we always know the famous rule: you give a matana al menas lahachzir. It's a full fledged giving it over. Albeit, since you want it back, you can make the condition that you have to return it. So, but at the time that you're giving it over, that person now owns it. In halacha. So therefore, it must be your own lulav and esrog. The dalad minim must be your own on the first day. So Rabbi Eliezer darshens out. So too. Just like the lulav and esrog has to be your own, kach ein odam yotze yidei chavoso besukoso shechaveiro. You likewise can't fulfill your obligation of sukkah with your friend's sukkah. Because the pasuk says, chakas sukkos tasilcho shivas yomim. It's lecha. It has to be your sukkah. Just like we darshen, ulakachtem lochem, it has to be your lulav and esrog. So too, by the sukkah itself, it has to be Misha Lecha, Tasa Lecha. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Chacham disagree, of course. And again, we pass in here like the Chacham. The Chacham Amrim, no. Afa Bisha Amru, Ein Adam Yosei Yodei Chos, Yom Tov Risho, Amru Lulo Shal Chaveiro. Even though I agree with you, the Chacham say that the din is that on Lulu and Esro, we pass in that it must be your own on the first day. Lekachtem Lechem means Misha Lechem. We agree with that. However, with sukkah, the din is different. We do allow you to go fulfill your obligation of sitting in the sukkah with a borrowed sukkah, i.e., by sitting in your friend's sukkah. Because the pasuk says, "Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos." Every citizen of Israel, every person can go sit basukos, implying in the same sukkah. Technically, all of Klai Yisrael, if we made a sukkah in a huge outdoor stadium and you put schach over it, so it was a huge kosher sukkah, all Klai Yisrael could go and sit in that sukkah. It could be one sukkah. Now, if all of Klai Yisrael is going to be an owner, a shutuf in that, so everybody's going to have less than a shavapruta. An owner of something can't have less than a shavapruta if it's a shutufus with somebody else. So therefore, in this situation, clearly everybody's borrowing the sukkah, because it seems to imply that all Klai Yisrael, Kol Ezra, Yisrael, Yeshu, Basukos could sit in one sukkah together, and therefore it must be that a borrowed sukkah is good on sukkahs, and not like the din of Lulav and Esrog, that it has to be Lekachtem lochem, misha lochem, but we don't apply the same drasha, chagasukus tasa lecha, misha lecha. So that's why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. No, Rabbanan, why do you need the word lecha then? It should have just said, chagasukus tasa shivas yomim. Why does it say lecha? Rabbanan, hi lecha, my darshi bay, they must have a drasha for it. There's not a single extra quotes in the Torah, certainly not an extra word in the Torah that doesn't have drashas attached to it. So Gemara says, the Chachamim would say the word lecha is needed, mi boyle limute gezula. That excludes having a stolen sukkah. Lecha means it has to be with permission, as opposed to a stolen sukkah. A sukkah that is stolen, you can't fulfill your obligation. As opposed to avol shula, borrowed sukkah, like we just brought down. Kisiv kol ha'ezrach v'yisrael, yeshu basukos, that tells us that a borrowed sukkah is acceptable. So that's what you need the word lecha, to exclude a gezula, but not a shula. No, we then throw it back on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, hi, Kol Ezra, my Avalei. No, what do you do with this pasuk? It seems to be extraneous to you because you don't hold that you can sit in a borrowed sukkah. You hold it, lecha means shelecha. So what do you do with the pasuk, Kol Ezra, Rizal, Yeshu, Basukos? So the more answers, the Rabbi Eliezer, Miboyele, he uses this pasuk to teach us, Leger, Shinis, Gaya, Bein Tayim, the Kotun, Shinis, Gadol, Bein Tayim, that they are allowed to go and sit in a sukkah. For a person who was a guy, he was Chris on the first days of sukkahs, and then a Cholamoid, he becomes Yankel. So now, this Chris slash Yankel didn't sit in sukkah the first days. Even if he did, he wasn't obligated to, so it's not fulfillment of anything. Now, this Chris turned into Yankel has a mitzvah to go sit in the sukkah. Likewise, a katan, he wasn't a bar mitzvah on the first days. So he was a katan on the first days. He becomes baruch shem bar mitzvah on chol hamoed. Now he has an obligation to sit in the sukkah midaraisa. So now he can go make a sukkah. That's what we need the pasuk according to Rabbi Eliezer, the teachers call it Ezrach, be Yisrael, Yeshua sukkos. Even the ger shin is gayer or the katan shin is gadol has an obligation to sit in the sukkah, even though they didn't sit there all 7 days. But they're doing the best that they can. They're sitting all the days that they're obligated in. And that's the critical factor. No, this is a very good drasha. Rabbanu, what do they do with this drasha? How do they teach us Gershon is Gaya and Koshin is Gadol that the Chayv is in the Sukkah? So Gemara says the Chacham would hold Kivan Sha'amu Osin Sukkah B'chol Shemayit. We already learned that you're allowed to make a Sukkah B'chol Shemayit. So how is that any different than these people? Lo Itzruch Krat. They don't need a separate pasuk to teach me the Gershon is Gaya and the Koshin is Gadol. If a regular Yisrael who didn't sit in the sukkah was obligated to on the first days, for whatever the reason, he didn't sit in the sukkah on the first days, is allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed to sit in for the rest of the sukkahs. So certainly the Gershon is Gaya and the Koshin is Gadol, who had no obligation to sit in the sukkah on the first days, so certainly they can go make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, and therefore we don't need the pasuk Kol Ezrach. We saw Yeshua sukkahs to teach us this din, and the Chacham can say, can teach us the din, we can use this pasuk to teach us the din of Sheula good, Gezula no good. Now Gemara is going to tell us another interesting story about Rabbi Eliezer. Tana Rabban, we learn the following Raisa, Maisa, Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi was a great gadol, and he was a talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. And sholach la'akbil pnei Rabbi Eliezer rabo b'lud b'regel. He went to visit his rabbi in Lud on the regel. Now, Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer sees Rabbi Eloi coming to him. He says, Eloi, called him by his first name, Eloi. Then called Rabbi Eloi. He's his talmud. Eidcha mishov seha regel. You aren't a person that is shoves on the regel. Rashi explains. Hoil v'lo amadeta b'beisecha, since you didn't stay in your house, it's lishcha with your wife, so you're not a person that's probably honoring and resting on the yontif. And he continues and he says, shoy Rabbi Eliezer omer, because the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Eliezer was known to say, he was wont to say, that mishabeyach ani esu atzlonim, I praise the atzlonim. Now normally we don't find people praising lazy people, but here in this situation, the description over here of somebody who stays at home could be described as a lazy person, but here it's a positive thing. I praise those people that stay at home, Shein Yotzim Mibotein Beregel, that don't leave their house on the regel and they stay home on the regel. They'll say, because the pasuk says, V'somachto ato uveisecha, because as Rashi explains, the pasuk is telling us over here, you should be misameach with your house, with your wife, Ishto Zubeso. You didn't stay, Eitzel Ishtecha, you didn't stay in your house, Beveisecha, Eitzel Ishtecha, Rashi says, and therefore, that's not a praiseworthy thing for you to come and visit me, even though it's a mitzvah to visit your rabbi. You should have stayed home in your house. This begs the famous question that at the Seder, we have the great five Tanoim, including Rabbi Eliezer, who went to Bnei Brak to eat the Pesach Sedarim by Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. So Rabbi Eliezer, l'shitaso, how did he leave? So the Mefarshim explained that if you're forced to go because of travels or something like that, so then you're an onus, so to say, and therefore he left his house to go and eat by Rabbi Akiva because they were traveling, raise funds for the yeshiva, whatever they were traveling for, to nullify some decree against Klai Yisrael. So he was on the road, he didn't have a choice. But in general, his opinion is, Meshabeach ani esu atzlonim, I praise those that are lazy, i.e. those that stay home on Yonta to be in their house with their family. More questions, it says, really, Ini? Is this really the din? Is this so? Yitzchak tells us the following halacha, that a person is obligated to visit his rebbe on the regel. Where do we know this from? So we know this from the famous story with the Isha Hashunamis that goes and visits her rebbe, the great Novi Elisha, on the regel. Now, where do we know this from? Because the pasuk tells us, Shenemar, her husband, who doesn't know that their child has died, Elisha had promised this Isha Hashunamis, because she had hosted him and had taken care of his lodging, and they had a special place in their house for him. So therefore, he asked her, what can I do to help you? Do you have any needs with the government that I can go take care of? And she said, I'm dying to have a child. I wish I had a child. They were never childless. So he promised her that she would have a child. And she did have a child. Some say that this child was the Navi Habakkuk. In any event, she had this child, and then Nebuch, the child, died suddenly. And this is the famous story where Elisha comes and resuscitates this child. In any event, the pasuk says her husband sees her running. Now, where's she running? Her husband doesn't know that the child Nebuch passed away, and she's running to get the Navi. So, Maduato Alechas Elov Hayom, why are you running to Elisha today? It's not Lo Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh, Lo Shabbos, not Shabbos, and it's not the Regel. So, therefore, why are you going to run to see him? No mitzvah to see him today. It's a weekday. Now, you clearly see from here, Miklal, that on Dibbechodesh, on Rosh Chodesh, Vishabbos, and on Shabbos, and on the Regel, Mechayev Inishlak Pule Ape Rabbe, that you do have an obligation to go see. Her husband wasn't surprised if she'd be going on a Yontif, or on Rosh Chodesh, or on Shabbos. He was surprised she'd go on a weekday. Implication being that it's a mitzvah to go. So that's what Rav Yitzchak says. How can you say that it's not a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe on Yontif? So Gemara says, Lokasha, it all depends. Rebbe Lezer says, stay at home. That means you can fulfill the mitzvah of visiting your Rebbe while you're staying at home, because he lives in the same city as you. When does Rebbe Eliezer say that this mitzvah applies to go be makbil pnei rabbo beregel? That's if you live in the same city as your Rebbe, or within travel distance to your Rebbe, that you can spend the night with your family at home, even though during the day you're going to go visit the Rebbe. And when does he say it doesn't apply? That Mishabeach ani esu atzlanim, so that's hod ozil v'lo osa biyomim, that the Rebbe lives too far away. You're living in Eilat, and the Rebbe lives in Haifa, so there's no way you're going to get back and forth there on the same day. So in that situation, there is no mitzvah to be lahak bil pnei rabo bo rego. Another ma'aseh Rebbe Eliezer, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following brisa. Ma'aseh Rebbe Eliezer, sheshovas begolil elyon. One time Rebbe Eliezer himself went and spent the Shabbos, Shavas beGolil HaElyon. He went to his Talmud in the Golil HaElyon. Who did he stay by? Besukach, so Shal Yochanan beRabbi Eloi. He stayed by his Talmud, Rabbi Eloi's son, Yochanan, in either the city of Kesari, beKesari, or the Amilei beKesarion, or in the city of Kesarion, whichever city it was. Now, this was a Shabbos of Sukkot, obviously. It says the sun reached the Sukkah, and it was beginning to bother, potentially, Rabbi Eliezer. So, this Talmud, Yochanan, Rabbi Eloi, wanted to ask Rabbi Eliezer, am I allowed to go and put up some sort of a shade, put up some sort of a sheet over the sukkah in order to block the rays of the sun? He wanted to know, could he do this? So Amalo, so this Yochanan, Rabbi Eloi, asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'usha Ephros Oleo Sadin, am I allowed to go spread a sheet over here to protect it from the sun, to make it comfortable to be in the sukkah? So Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't answer the question. He goes off on a tangent, seeming a non sequitur, and he says, "Ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet miYisrael. There is no shevet in Chai Yisrael. Shlo hem mimenu shofet. They didn't have a shofet that came from their shevet." Now he was pushing him off. He didn't want to give an answer. The Gemara will explain in a few moments why he didn't want to give an answer. But Rashi has an interesting Rashi here. He tells us that from every shevet there was a navi. So in the Dibur Maslo, Shlo hem mit shofet, he says, "Moshia es Yisrael." There were the Shoftim that were leading Chai Yisrael from the time Shayu Mishemes Yoshua V'yat Shmuel. So there was somebody from every Shevet. Shemoshach Shmuel LeMelech Yoshua MeEphraim. Yoshua was from Shevet Ephraim. Ehud from Binyamin. And Gidon MiMenashe. This is the Bnei Rachel. Then he has Shimshon Midon. And Baruch MiKedesh Naphtali. So therefore, Harei Bnei Bila. Those are the children of Bila. So those Shvatim are taken care of. Then he has Ivtson, which is Boaz, from Yehuda. Eli came from Levi. And Tola came from Yisachar. Elon came Hazuloni. He came from Zulun. And these are the ones that we know. Elon Mufarshim from specific Shvatim. But the other Shvatim that we have, Asniel, Ben Kenaz, V'Yivtoch, V'Shamgar, V'Yoyer, V'Avdon, Lo Yadati, Shemo, Shivtein. We don't know which Shevet they came from. And likewise, Miruvain, V'Shimon, V'Gad, V'Yashar, from those four Shvatim, Lo Mutzasim, V'Furish. We don't know which of these five that we just mentioned came from these four Shvatim. But every Shevet, we have a Kabbalah. Rabbi Eliezer said that every Shevet had at least one Shofet. Fine. This is a total non sequitur. It's a total non answering the question. Fine. Yochanan. But Rabbi Eloi doesn't say anything. Okay. So a little bit of sun is not going to hurt anybody. Now, the sun is already starting to encroach on half of the sukkah. So they're still sitting in a shady part of the sukkah, not yet in the sun. So again, Yochanan, Rabbi Eloi, goes and asks Rabbi Eliezer, Amalo, Ma'o She'efros Ale'a Sadim. Can I go and put up some sort of a screen over here to block the sun? Or is that going to ruin the schach? So Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer again gives him a non sequitur, doesn't answer him. He says, Ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet miYisrael, shel yotzu mimenu neviim. There is no shevet that doesn't have its own navi. Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, Hamidu Malachim al Piv Nevi'im. And Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, of course, Binyamin is talking about Shaul, and Yehuda is talking about Malchus based David, so they were appointed kings by the Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, he didn't answer the question. Again, a non sequitur. Finally, Higia Chamul Amar Golosov Shel Rabbi Eliezer. Finally, the sun is encroaching on the feet of Rabbi Eliezer. And now, Yochanan, Rabbi Eloi, doesn't know what to do. He doesn't want his father's Rebbe, to be uncomfortable in the sun. So, Notal Yochanan Sodin, he goes and takes the sheet, Upeiras Olel, and he puts it over the sukkah to block the sun. What does Rebbe Eliezer do? Hivshil Rabbi Eliezer talisul le'achorav. Rabbi Eliezer gets up. He puts his talis. The talis doesn't mean like we have a talis gadol. It means his cloak, his garment. He puts it over his shoulder. In other words, he puts his jacket on and he tosses it over his shoulder and viyotz, and he leaves the sukkah. Now, why did he leave the sukkah? Lo mipnei shif ligu b'dvarim. Not because he wanted to argue with this shita, as Rashi says over here. Mashi siu l'dover acher. The reason that he spoke something else wasn't because lo hif ligo heimenu l'achoso. He didn't want to just push him aside and argue with him. Shelo l'lamdo Torah niskavin, and not because he didn't want to teach him Torah. Ella shelo amar dover. He never said anything. The chule Rashi says that he didn't hear from his rebbe, which we'll see in the more in a second. And in the Masoras Hashas over here, he brings down shelo yomru. If people see that he sits there in the sukkah, even though he didn't say anything, they'll assume he tiras a dover, that he had given his hashkocha, so to say, to putting up the sheet, and he didn't want that to be said in his name. Not that you can't do it, and not that you can do it, because lo mipnei sheif ligu b'dvarim, not that he was arguing with him, ela mipnei shelo amar dover shelo shoma mipi rabo li'olam, because he never said anything over that he didn't hear from his rebbe, and he never heard his rebbe say what the halacha is in this situation, can you put up a sheet or not over the schach, and therefore he didn't want to paskin it, and therefore he didn't want anybody to think he was paskining it yes or no, and that's why he changed the subject, and that's why he left the sukkah, so people shouldn't say he gave it a heter, but people also wouldn't say that he said it's aser. He just left the sukkah, he didn't leave in a huff, he just said goodbye and left the sukkah. Now, how could he do this? Hechi Ovid Hochi, former Rabbi Eliezer, he himself, Rabbi Eliezer said, Ein Yotzei Misukkah L'Sukkah. How could he go to this house of Yochanan, the Rabbi Eloi, to spend Shabbos Sukkahs there when his sheet is that you must be in the same Sukkah all 7 days? So how could he have gone here in the first place? So Gemara says, Regel Acher Havoy, who says it was Sukkahs? He went there to spend the Shabbos, and they happened to sit outside. It was nice weather, and they sat outside in a Sukkah. And the question was over here, not is the schach ruined by this, but is this a ohel? But when he puts up a sheet, is he making an ohel? That's the question that was asked, and that he never heard from his rebbeim, and therefore he didn't want to paskin it. But it has nothing to do with sukkahs. So therefore, you misunderstood the original situation. But it was a regel, wasn't it? Wasn't it a Shabbos of a regel, and therefore, how could he leave his house on the regel? So it says again, who says it was a regel? It says Sheshavas, Shabbos Havoy. It was a regular Shabbos. It wasn't a Yontif. It has nothing to do with Yontif. You misunderstood everything. And this was a regular Shabbos. And the question was, can you basically put up a temporary ohel by putting up the sheet on Shabbos? He never heard it from his rebbe. He didn't want to answer it. He left this hut that they were staying in, but it wasn't a sukkah on sukkahs, and it wasn't a Shabbos of the regel that he was leaving his house to go away for the regel. Fine. The Gemara says, "V'tivshut lemi didei." So why didn't he learn the answer from his own shitas that he did hear from his rebbe? Because ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah in a number of places. We have this Mishnah in Shabbos. We have this in other places. The Mishnah tells us, "Pikakach alone." If you have a shutter for a window, right? In modern Hebrew, the word pikak is traffic. It's all bottled up. So this pikak, it bottles up. It shutters up the window. So if you have pekakach alone, so are you allowed to go put this in on Shabbos or on Yontif? So Relez Omer, Bizman Shekoshur Vitolui, if it's already attached before Yontif or Shabbos to a rope, and it is tolui, it's hanging, so it's not on the ground. So in this situation, only in this situation, can you plug it back in on Shabbos, because it already looks like it's attached. So you're not building something, even an aroi type of a structure, on Shabbos or Yontif. Pokekimbo, you can go put it back. But if it's not both of these conditions being fulfilled, that it's not tied and it's not hanging, so then Rabbi Lez's opinion is ain poke and bow. In other words, he says you're not allowed to make this ohel aroi on Shabbos or Yontif. It has to have been there essentially beforehand. Then you're just putting it back in its place, but you're not allowed to rebuild something or put something together in the first place on Shabbos or Yontif. That's Rabbi Lez's opinion. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim, no. Ben kach, whether it's hanging or not, whether it's tied or not, poking, you can put it back. This is considered not even an ohel aroi, and therefore there's nothing wrong with it. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is something wrong with it. So why didn't he tell this Talmud, Yochanan b'Rabbi Eloi, that you're not allowed to do this? We turn to Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and we conclude the shir, Hasavu d'mavatel, because in that situation, when he picks this up from the ground, he's totally being mavatel, this shudder, this pekak, from using as something else. And therefore, that's why you're not allowed to use it, because you mavatel it from its original status. Avol Hocha, with the sheet, you're going to take the sheet down. As soon as the sun goes down, you take the sheet down. The lo mavato, so since you're not being mavato lit lo, that's not considered a problem over here of putting up this temporary structure. So you couldn't analogize this from the Pekak case to over here, and since he didn't hear, is this considered an Ohel Aroi or not in terms of a sheet, he didn't want to say anything, and that's why he left the sukkah of Rav Yochanan by Rabbi Eloi on this Shabbos that wasn't a regel, it wasn't a sukkah, it was this hut. But the question was the Ohel Aroi or not. With this, we conclude today's shiur.